Bobo, it stays 28-20. Earmark that. Here is a completion to Jameson Williams. He is gone. Touchdown, Lions. 70 yards.
So we're going to talk mostly about our team today because they're climbing the NFL power rankings lists, number 10 on the ESPN just released power rankings list. But I came in with the Monday night game last night. There were two of them. The other game was dreadful. Tennessee beating Miami 31-12. By the way, the Dolphins, for all the talk about Tua, he's okay. They're horrible without him. And he's coming back at some point. But the Detroit-Seattle game last night, if you guys watch this game, we are really ginned up and justifiably so over our team right now offensively. They have done things in the first 4 weeks of the season that we haven't seen in the league in a long time. They are in so many top threes and key offensive categories. We haven't seen this since 2016. But last night, watching these two teams offensively and the playmakers they have at running back and at wide receiver, with two quarterbacks in Geno Smith and Jared Goff, who are solid. You know, Geno Smith is underrated, if that's even possible at this point. The dude flat out loves to play and is competitive as hell and has a great arm. He's much more mobile than I think he gets credit for. I really like Geno Smith. Jared Goff went 18 for 18 last night. 292 yards. I mean, maybe a little bit better than 21 of 23 or 26 of 30. Not that much better, but record-setting last night. But the receivers and the running backs that Detroit has, and the receivers and the running backs that Seattle have, I mean, that is a high, high level of combined skill position talent on one team. If you haven't seen the Kenneth Walker III run, where, first of all, his touchdown run is insane. He had three touchdowns in the game, but the one where he comes left and completely cuts it across the field. By the way, his first game back from injury. But if you've not seen the flip that he did, the backward flip that he did as he was being tackled but was not touched on the ground, it's one of the greatest athletic feats I think I've ever seen on a football field. He gets tackled, rolled over, and as he starts to get back up, he literally backflips himself through the tackler onto his feet. That dude is an absolute freak. I love him as a player. DK Metcalf is so big and so strong and so fast. Smith and the Jigba, Tyler Lockett, Zach Charbonnet, and then on the other side, Amon-Ra St. Brown's one of the best. Jameson Williams, in terms of an absolute electrifying deep threat, one of the best. We just haven't seen him because of injury that rookie year, then the gambling thing. And then Gibbs and Montgomery. David Montgomery had a run last night that was unbelievable. The skill position play in that game last night on offense was as high a level as you will get in one game combined. And we're wrapped up into our team right now, and for the first time, justifiably so, without delusion, because I think there's been a lot of years here over the last, you know, many years where, you know, you have conversations as a fan base and you're like, dude, do you watch the rest of the league? Yeah, our guys aren't at that level. Like, not even close. Our guys are close. Certainly our guy quarterback is close. But wow, the skill position talent on display last night. Detroit won the game 42-29. Really surprised at this point at Detroit's defense. Seems to have taken a bit of a step back. And in that division, which now does not have a losing record team, the NFC North has Minnesota at 4-0, Detroit 3-1, Green Bay and Chicago at 2-2. There's only one other division, and I think it's the AFC West, because I think Denver, the Raiders, Chargers are all 2-2. Yeah, the Chiefs are 4-0, and the other three teams are 2-2. Detroit was a prohibitive favorite to win that division. Minnesota's probably, I haven't looked at it recently, I'm going to guess that they have moved right there with Detroit. Minnesota Minnesota's a more complete football team because of their dominant defense. What a division that is. But last night, if you were watching, good God, the talent from a skill position standpoint on that field was really fun to watch. For all the talk about, you know, passing yards and scoring, and we saw some scoring this weekend. Last night, I think, was the second team other than Washington to put 40 up, but there were several teams that put 30-plus up in the league over the weekend with, I think, an increase in passing yards and touchdown passes. Took a couple of weeks to get it going, but it is going. Impressive last night were the Lions and the Seahawks on offense. So, Chris is in for Denton. Denton's out the rest of the week. Two guests on the show today. Nikki Javala from the Washington Post will join us at 11 a.m. And Mike Jones will jump on with us at noon from The Athletic. We'll talk some ball with them. You'll also hear a little bit later on in the show what Tommy said about Pete Rose. We had a brief conversation this morning, which I recorded. Tommy couldn't do it live, that I recorded on Pete Rose passing away yesterday at the age of 83. Tom Lavero, for those of you who don't know, is a Hall of Fame baseball voter. Pete Rose, and I didn't realize this until Tommy told me this, he's never been on the ballot. I thought at some point he was on the ballot, but he was prohibited from being even on the Hall of Fame ballot. And I asked Tom if he had been on the ballot all of these years, would he have gotten in? You'll hear what Tommy said to that a little bit later on in the show. I've got some upon further review. I watched a lot of the All-22 from the offense, not the defense yet. I'm actually curious to go back and take a look at the defense because I'm still at, you know, a concern level of, on a scale of, you know, 1 to 5, 5 being, you know, total DEFCON nuclear war readiness, although I think it's the opposite of that. DEFCON 1 is the heightened, the most heightened state of DEFCON levels. DEFCON 5, I think, is low level of readiness for nuclear war. But I'm still at a, you know, at a 2. Or a one, you know, I'm still at a 2 with this defense. It was better. It's something to potentially build on from a confidence standpoint, because you'd think that they had to be a little bit, you know, starting to believe some of the numbers and believe what was being said about them. So it's nice to get a turnover, force a takeaway. It was nice to get stops and force punts. But man, I can't wait to look at that, because I would bet you, not to take any, you know, all credit away from them defensively. I know I won't end up doing that. I still can't believe that the quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals rushed one time for 3 yards and had as many in the pocket throws as he had. I'm sure defensively Washington and the scheme has something to do with it, but that's a guy that is much better running around like it's a game of tag and then throwing the football. You know, that's what he does. That's the only way he's able to generate some of the incredibly electrifying results he has generated. There, I don't think I saw one zone read play from them. Certainly not a zone read keeper from him. That's crazy that Kyler Murray ran the ball one time for 3 yards. I went back and looked. There's only 2 other games in his career that he's had only one rush in a game. And I think he got hurt in both of those games and left both of those games early. But look, much better test offensively coming up in 2 weeks against Baltimore. And a big test coming up this Sunday against Cleveland defensively in terms of what the Browns are. They're well-coached defensively with Jim Schwartz. Miles Garrett played injured on Sunday and still had 2 sacks. We'll see what happens with his health this week. They said he got banged up a little bit at the end of that game. I would imagine he's coming in here to play. This is a huge game for the Browns. You know, the Browns had some aspirations before the season started. They got major issues with Deshaun Watson. There's no doubt about that. But this is a game that for them to kind of stay in the hunt, they gotta win some games, because they just lost to the Raiders on the road and they lost to the Giants at home. You know, that's not a good start for them, and I think they believe that they are better than that. And then, of course, 2 weeks from less than 2 weeks away, a week from this Sunday, at Baltimore, in what could be a preview of the Super Bowl. Kidding. A lot of people were wondering about whether or not that game would get flexed. The information out there is that NBC was interested in flexing Baltimore-Washington to Sunday night in Week 6. The Bengals and the Giants are currently in that spot in Week 6, but it's not going to happen because CBS can protect, I think, up to a game a week, if not two, and they're protecting that game. That's a 1 o'clock game on CBS. It's actually a Fox doubleheader week in Week 6. Bengals-Giants currently the Sunday night game. And, you know, that's probably the going to stick, because the other games that would be possibilities are the primetime 425, a late afternoon, not primetime, the late afternoon prime window games of Lions, Cowboys, Falcons, Panthers, which isn't going to get flexed to Sunday night. And they're going to keep the Lions, Cowboys on Fox. That's definitely protected. And there's really not another game that would match Washington Baltimore in Week 6 getting Jaden Daniels onto Sunday Night Football. So for those of you who are wondering, is there a possibility to get flex there? There isn't. There is not. And then you look ahead, and I think one of the interesting spots for a potential flex would be hold on, I had this up a little while ago. Would be possibly, no, the game against the Steelers won't be, because it's a Lions-Houston Sunday night schedule. Oh, here's the game. The possibility for a Sunday night flex comes, you know, in their first matchup against the Cowboys on November 24th. That's currently scheduled for a 1 o'clock game in D.C. on Fox. The Sunday night game scheduled currently is Eagles-Rams. The Rams are banged up. The Eagles, who knows what they'll be. Now, the only reason that may not be in consideration is the Cowboys then play on Thanksgiving Day. Will they force the Cowboys to play a Sunday night game in D.C., come back and play a Thursday game at home against the Giants? I don't know. I think that one of the reasons the Cowboys typically get 1 o'clock games on Sundays before Thanksgiving is because they want them to have the most amount of time before a Thursday game. But I was looking ahead at the schedule. That would be, I think, the first legitimate chance at a potential flexed Sunday night game. It doesn't seem like anything after Baltimore, given the matchups that are already there, make a lot of sense. Like, if you're thinking about the week that they play the Bears, there's a really good Sunday night game that week. Forgetting what it is, but yeah, that's week. They play the Bears on week 8, I believe. Yeah, week 8, and it's Dallas San Francisco as the scheduled Sunday night game. So that ain't happening. You know, you're not moving that out. And then Washington plays Pittsburgh in week 10, and the Sunday night game is Detroit-Houston. That's a pretty good Sunday night game right now. You know, the Lions and the Texans. So I think really the opportunity is maybe the first opportunity for a flex game if they're still playing well. But I'm telling you right now, they're looking to get Jaden Daniels into prime time. You know, would be the Dallas game on the 24th. But again, would they do that with the Cowboys playing on Thanksgiving Day a few days later? Who knows? Don't forget the last, I think it's 4 or 5 weeks of the season, games can get flexed into Monday night. They started that last year, even though I don't think we had one. I can't remember if we had one or not. All right. So question for the group. They're moving up the list on the power rankings everywhere. I mean, ESPN just came out this morning with their updated power rankings, 1 through 32. Washington is 10. 10. They were 19 last week. They were 26 the week before. They are in the top 10 of the NFL power rankings. I am not a power rankings aficionado. I don't have the historicals on the ESPN power rankings, but I am going to guess that this is the highest they've been in anybody's power rankings since 2018 when they were five and two, maybe. With Alex Smith that year, they got to 5-2. Maybe they were close to the top 10. I guarantee you they were near or in the top 10 at some point in 2016. You know, when they beat the Packers that night before the Thanksgiving Day matchup against the Cowboys when they were 6-3-1 and they destroyed the Packers on Sunday Night Football. I'm pretty sure they were really high in the power rankings, top 10 easily. But my question to the group is this. What is possible this year? 301-230-0980. 301-230-0980. What is possible? A winning season, that's it. You know, 9 wins, no playoffs. 9 wins in contention, but they don't make it. Division title, 10-plus wins. A division title plus a playoff win. A division title plus 2 playoff wins. What's possible? I mean, you have to, I think, at this point, after the last 3 games, but specifically the last 2, you know, putting up the offensive numbers that they've put up, the historic start to the season for the quarterback and to a certain extent the offense, you have to have recalibrated your preseason thoughts on this team. What's possible? I'll give you my answer when we come back. Phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980, the team980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app. So ESPN's got its power rankings out for the week. Washington's at 10. USA has Washington at 9 in the league. CBS Sports has Washington at 8 in the league. Pro Football Talk, for what it's worth, has them at 9. Yahoo has them at 12. I haven't seen NFL.com yet, but Washington now being taken very seriously as a playoff contender. Because remember, there are 14 playoff teams. So if you look at the ESPN top 10, in the NFC, you've got Minnesota at 2, Detroit at 4, Tampa at 5, wow, Seattle at 6, San Francisco at 9, and Washington at 10. That would make Washington the 6th best team power rankings-wise in the NFC. The question at 301-230-0980 is what's possible? Because offensively, when you have this type of ability, and we now know it's a capability based on what they did the last 2 games, the opponents will change. They'll be better. There will be some adjustment, I'm sure, to the Kingsbury scheme, to Jaden Daniels himself. Weather will start to play a factor later in the season. You know, the one thing I don't believe Jaden Daniels has ever played in is a cold weather game. Something to just consider. You know, what kind of bad weather, cold weather, late season, December, January quarterback outside will he be? But what's possible as we are now approaching the quarter mark of this season? We'll go beyond it when we get to a certain point in the next game. So my answer to this question is a division title and at least 1 playoff win. You know, a division title means you're going to play a home playoff game as no worse than a 4 seed against a 5-seeded team at home. But it's not so much also that I'm just looking at the division environment right now and saying, you know, the Giants aren't very good. Dallas hasn't shown much this year. Philly seems to be in a bit of disarray, and that may be true. And I'm not just talking about on the field, talking about off of it. You know, you've got, you know, I hate playing this game, but you've got, you know, the Browns, the Panthers, the Bears, and the Giants, 4 of your next 5, 3 of those at home. You have the Titans on the schedule. You know, so there are opportunities to potentially, you know, it's all about, you know, when you play a team, not who you're playing typically. But I certainly think what's possible is double-digit wins, 10-plus wins, a division title, and at least 1 playoff victory this year. By the way, that'll lead to another conversation, and I'm just going to bring it up right now. We're not going to have this conversation today. We're not. But what happens to the... We've had this hypothetical, but now it's becoming a bit of a reality. Maybe a reality. What happens to the name and the branding conversation if Jaden Daniels is the real deal and they end up going to the playoffs and they're really good? We're not going to bring that up today or talk about it as a group today, but we will at some point because it is interesting and a lot of people are talking about that. They are. But right now, we're focused on this team. What can this team do? What's possible? 301-230-0980. Chris is in for Denton. Chris, do you have an answer to this?
I mean, I went to George Mason and watched that Final Four run, and sometimes magic just hits. I don't want to say we're getting that crazy yet, but it's hard to say there's limits when anything can happen. Get to the playoffs, anything can happen. I think they can at least get to the playoffs right now. So,
as a division winner?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, right now they look like they're the best in the NFC East. Now, who knows in 2 months, but right now, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they have the division lead currently. They have not played the Cowboys or the Eagles yet. They have four games against those two teams. You know, even kind of looking around the NFC, like let's just say the Cowboys or the Eagles ended up being what some thought either one of those two teams would be preseason. What would it look like for a wild card race? They'll be in it. You know, I mean, you've got like right now the Rams are banged up. They're struggling. I think Seattle's a bit of a surprise. Certainly Minnesota's a surprise. The NFC South actually is pretty strong in those top three right now in terms of what they can do potentially in wins. But my answer is they can win the division with 10 plus wins, and they can definitely win a home playoff game as a division winner, which would put them into the final four of the NFC, you know, with San Francisco, with Detroit, with maybe Minnesota and Washington. All right, 301-230-0980. What's possible this year? Walt in D.C., kick it off for us. Walt, go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing? I think that I definitely think that playoffs is looking more and more like a possibility or reality with every passing game. You know, I'm not worried about New York in the division. Not really worried about Dallas, and I think our biggest threat would be Philly. They kind of seem, even though they are kind of falling apart or seem like they don't have it all together right now. You know, they have the pieces to be a real threat with Saquon in the backfield. If Jalen Hurts ever gets himself together and becomes a little bit more of an accurate passer, they have the weapons. I believe to hurt us with our struggling secondary at times, but in general, man, I really think the playoff is a real reality for us right now.
Yeah, I mean the Philly thing is interesting in the division. Thanks for the call, Walt. Thanks for the call, Walt. Appreciate it. They're in disarray a little bit right now with Nick Sirianni. But I still saw in their win against New Orleans, in their win against the Packers, in the loss against the Falcons, which was basically over if Saquon catches that ball, I still see an upgrade in talent this year. But something ain't right with Sirianni. Something's not right with that defense. Now, if this game on Sunday at Tampa was an absolute beatdown because it was ugly early and it looked like Philadelphia had no juice for the game at all. Now, the game last week in New Orleans was an intense, it was a brutal physical game, 15-12. The Eagles played well. They kind of got, you know, bailed out by the you know, the play to Goddard. That was the biggest play of the game for them. They also overcame their own coaches' incompetence in terms of fourth down decisions. I still think they're better, you know, with Barkley. I think they're better overall talent-wise than they were last year, but something's not right. They look terrible. Now, the word is that this game was just played in brutal, humid heat on Sunday, and that both teams got, wound down a little bit. But Tampa was up 24-0, 21-0 before, you know, basically the early part of the second quarter was up. Let's go to, Declan in Washington? Declan, go ahead.
Good morning.
What's up, sir? How you doing? What's possible?
I tell you, it's Deacon in Washington, D.C.
Oh, Deacon. What's up, Deacon? How are you?
Yeah, what's possible, man, is the sky. You look at the sky, the ceiling, you know, when Jordan says the roof is the ceiling, well, the roof is our ceiling, and I think we're going past that. We're the best in the NFC East right now. With a division win, I agree with you, division win and also conference championship possibility. San Francisco's beat up. They don't have Purdy, ain't got no more wheels. I mean, McCaffrey ain't got no more wheels. So that's their ace in the hole. And Dallas, who knows who's going to show up on Sunday? So your beast really right now is Minnesota and or New Orleans. And another thing, this is just a caveat for you, Mr. Sheehan. The name is Commanders until further notice. Thank you. I'm out.
Well, don't lecture me, but thanks for the call, Deacon. Appreciate it. The name is technically the Commanders, but you're not going to get some of us to be thrilled saying it. But we're not focused on that today. We're focused on what's possible this year with the team. What is possible? I say division title and at least a playoff win at home to get to the Final Four. James in Germantown. James, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. How are you doing today?
I'm well, James. Thanks.
Excellent. I think the sky is the possibility. You know, there's a possibility. I think a definite NFC East title. And, you know, I said one when I first came on, I said one win. But, I mean, if we get two games at home, I think there's a possibility of two games. And, you know, the first caller said that, the Eagles could be are our biggest threat. But, I mean, the relationship between Hurts and the head coach, I mean, if that goes south, that could turn into a dumpster fire over there.
Right.
And I think saw that
we
last
could be
year.
Watching Sirianni get exited out, you know, stage right here in a few weeks. No doubt.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And before I go, I just wanted to say, you know, at the beginning of the year, you predicted 10 wins, and everybody was turning their head and thinking you're a crazy man. And, you know, after the first win or loss in Tampa. And after three wins now, I'd like to give you the opportunity. I think you may be a little light on that prediction.
I'm going to stick with 10. I'm going to stick with 10, but I think the only reason, and, you know, it was going out on a limb, I understand, but it was really more on just a hunch about the quarterback, you know, and that how important that position is, and the thought that it wasn't going to take him a long time to be what he was last year, which was one of the best, I think, quarterback seasons in college football history, and it just all translated to the NFL level for, you know, everybody's going back and playing revisionist history, but there were a lot of people out there that thought he should have been the first quarterback taken. Lewis Riddick did, Orlovsky did. I'm talking about national pundits. Nobody's taken a bow at 3-1, and I'm certainly not going to, because really, in some ways, the prediction was total hunch, tongue-in-cheek. But I was very, very optimistic, as most of you know, about the quarterback. And if he had played, one of the things we talked about before the season started, you're not going to be a 4 or a 5 win team if the quarterbacking is decent. All right. You have to have really bad quarterbacking to win 4 games in the NFL. And so I never thought those predictions were possible unless he got hurt. And that's still, you know, knock on wood, doesn't happen. But if you get good quarterback play, you're not going to win 4 or 5. You're going to win more than that. And so I always felt like there was a chance that he could be good sooner rather than later, and so far he is, but we're not counting chickens before hatching time. Let's go to Rylan in Canada is calling in. What's possible, Rylan?
Good morning, Kev. What's possible, buddy? Like I told you after the big Monday night win, after we shocked the world, is maybe the Super Bowl, but let's start with 10 wins and see what happens, because that's why you play the game. One thing that has always won is culture, and with Dan and Josh and Adam Peters, and especially seeing the boys rally behind JD5, let me tell you, 12 years in, and I've never been more fired up to call you. So it's a beautiful day in Washington, like I say.
Where are you, Rylan?
So I'm in Oklahoma City, but I'm from British Columbia originally. I'm the I'm your favorite BC boy.
Vancouver?
I'll be there in December. My sister lives in Vancouver, actually. We're taking my wife and her family from down here up to visit Vancouver and watch Taylor Swift, actually. So it's going to be a good time.
Good for you. I think that is, without question, one of the most beautiful cities in North America. Top five, for sure.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's fantastic. Yeah. People who have never been there got to go check it out. And especially as Americans, you guys, everything's on sale out there. The Canadian dollar is nothing compared to the big American coin.
Nope. I guess you can thank Mr. Trudeau for that. Kev, thank you, Ryan.
Great golf up there. Great golf up there, too, Kev. You and Cooley got to go check it out. It's fantastic.
I know. Terrific golf. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it. Let's go to Jalen. Jalen, what's possible this year? I say division title and at least a playoff win.
Well, Kevin, good morning. I agree with you. And I feel like that this team can make a deep playoff run. And I just feel like with the way how the offense is performing, if they can maintain consistency with everything that they're doing, I think they can go on the road, you know, and make a deep playoff run. I mean, we've seen them, you know, play to a high standard on the road. Whenever you can run the ball effectively, control time of possession, and with Jaden Daniels, I genuinely feel like that we have a chance to win every game. And I look at the NFC as a whole, and I just don't see a lot of quarterbacks that you can say is head and shoulders that is better than him. And I just feel like as a team, you know, going into each game, I think that we're only going to get better. And if this team can improve defensively off of the performance that they had this past Sunday, along with the offense playing the way it's playing, special teams being sharp, I could easily see his team make a deep playoff run and possibly get to a conference championship. Thank you for taking my call. Hail to the Breaking and Go.
Yeah, thanks, Jalen. By the way, yesterday we put out our Window Nation poll, Twitter poll, X poll of the day was, is Jaden Daniels a legit NFL MVP candidate? 2,600 votes, 83.7% said yes. In a lot, I was looking at this last night, a lot of different sites, you know, sports books. He's anywhere from the 6th or 7th best odds to win the MVP now to, you know, the 11th or 12th best odds, but he has shot up the list, and he's now a pretty sizable favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. But I was looking at this earlier, and let me pull it up again real quickly in terms of the... So here, I did kind of a blended of like three or four different sports books on MVP odds. So the guys that are ahead of him in every single MVP odds listing right now: Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, CJ Stroud, Sam Darnold, Brock Purdy. Those six are all pretty much across the board in front of them. A lot of people still have Joe Burrow and Aaron Rodgers and Prescott and Mayfield in front of them, but he's in front of them odds-wise on enough sites. But that's pretty amazing. Like, he wasn't even listed, basically, before the season started. Also, somebody, a caller mentioned something two callers ago about, you know, potentially two home playoff games. You don't have to be the one seed to get two home playoff games. The two seed also, if they win that first game, gets a second game at home as well. Remember, the playoff structure is seven teams each conference. The best record gets the bye as the one seed. And then the 2-7 seeds play on wild card weekend. 2 plays 7, 3 plays 6, 4 plays 5. But if 2 beats 7, 2 gets a second home game in the divisional round. So if you end up with the second best record in the NFC, 2 home games if you can win that first one. That's what he was referring to, and I just wanted to make that clear. What's possible? 301-230-0980. Let's go to Chad in Nashville. Chad, what's possible?
Man, anything's possible, Kevin. I'm so excited, dude. Listen, when you have a quarterback like that, anything's possible. You could have barely an average defense, and you have a quarterback like that, and anything's possible. I agree with you. I see winning the division and winning one playoff game. Never in my lifetime as a Skins fan, as a WTF, FT, the C word, whatever you want to call it, have we had a quarterback like this. We haven't been in this situation. We haven't been able to watch a game and be like, something's going to happen. It's not going to work out. They're going to end up losing this game somehow. We're just programmed to do that. So, I mean, anything's possible. Look at the games coming up. I could see them going 4-1 in the next five games. That Ravens game is going to be hard, but if you can come out 4-1, maybe 3-2 the next five games, I mean, that back stretch is a little rough, but you put yourself ahead of the Eagles and Cowboys that far, why can't you win the division and why can't you go after that one number one seed? New Orleans didn't look too great. I mean, Tampa, it looks like the best team in the NFC. Besides that, what quarterback would you pick right now in the NFC over Jaden Daniels? If you can tell me which one that you would pick that's better than Jaden Daniels and then say Washington ain't going to make the playoffs, I'll give you $100, but I guarantee
Right now, Jaden there's Baker, not one quarterback in the NFC that I would definitely pick in front of Jaden Daniels. Not one.
No.
I'm being serious about that. I wouldn't pick Matt Stafford. I wouldn't pick Kyler Murray for sure. Brock Purdy, no. Geno Smith, I actually think he's underrated. Nobody in Carolina, not Derek Carr, not even my guy Kirk, no way. Not in front of Jaden Daniels. Not Baker, not Caleb, not Jordan Love, not Jared Goff, not Sam Darnold. The answer is I would not even pick Dak in front of him. The answer is there's not one quarterback in the NFC I would pick in front of Jaden Daniels right now.
No, but hey, remember I told you last week, and I said, if the defense gets a little better, let's just say they get barely average, they are a dangerous team, NFC or AFC. I don't care. And I haven't said that in a long time, but Kevin, holy crap, man. Did it not put a smile on your face that we hit the lotto, quarterback lotto? I mean,
so far so good. Just four games. The list of quarterbacks to have, you know, made it to a Super Bowl rookie year is very, very slim, and those teams had good defenses, not average defenses or subpar defenses. They had good defenses. Thanks for the call, Chad. Let's go to Joe in Manassas. Joe, what's possible?
Hey, Kevin, long time listener, first time caller.
Thanks.
I don't want to get into the playoffs, but I'm looking forward to possibly our first 11-win season since what, 91?
Yeah, we've not won 11. Last time this franchise won 11 games was 33 years ago. Not anything to brag about, but yeah, 11 is certainly a goal and would be nice. I'd still take 10 right now in a division title.
I'm with you. I think 11 gets us there, and we'll let the playoffs fold out how they do. I hope the defense find some inspiration to not let down the offense. That's all I got.
Yeah. Thanks for the call. So, you know, rookie quarterbacks and going long distances in the postseason. We had Brock Purdy, a win away from the Super Bowl when they played Philadelphia his rookie year, and he got hurt. Let's keep in mind that was a dominant defensive team and a dominant run team. He was a game managing quarterback, but he didn't get to it. No rookie quarterback has ever won a Super Bowl. No rookie quarterback has even started in a Super Bowl. The list of rookie quarterbacks who have started in conference championship games, that's a pretty light list as well. Sean King with the Buccaneers as a rookie started the NFC championship game in 2000 against the greatest show on turf. Sean King, bless his heart, he's a great guy, great radio guest. I've had him on the show a couple of times. Was a bit player on that team. That team was a dominant defensive team. Roethlisberger, obviously his rookie year, got to the AFC title game, lost to Brady 41-27. He was good that year, but they relied on defense. Flacco in 2009 made the AFC title game against the Steelers. They got handled pretty well. Flacco was pretty good as a rookie, but was nowhere near what he would be 3 years later. Sanchez made the AFC title game with the Jets in 2010. All defense. And then 2023, Purdy with the 49ers against the Eagles, the 2022 season. And he got injured in that game. And I think if he doesn't get injured, they've got a chance to win that game and go to the Super Bowl with Purdy. But that team relied on everything else. There is not one rookie quarterback who was counted on to lead a team that made it in his rookie year to even a championship game. So keep that in mind. And those that did had dominant defenses. Dominant defenses. I see everybody on hold. Stay there. Kenny, Chris, Ryan, Ronnie, Paulie, Billy, Bobby. We'll get to your calls next. What's possible? That's where we continue when we come back. Nikki Javala will jump on with us at 11 a.m. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Team980.com. Just looking at, going back, just kind of confirm what I thought it was. With these rookie quarterbacks. No rookie quarterbacks ever won a Super Bowl. No rookie quarterback has started in a Super Bowl. But there have been, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to start in championship games. Sean King, 2000 with the Buccaneers. They had the number 7 defense in the league. The 2005 Steelers with Roethlisberger, the number 1 defense in the league. 2009 Ravens, the number 3 defense in the league with Flacco. The 2010 Jets with Sanchez as a starter as a rookie, the number 3 defense in the league. And then the 49ers with Purdy. Remember, he gets hurt in that game and they end up, you know, running Wildcat with Christian McCaffrey in that game after Josh Johnson, I think, who came into the game as the backup quarterback. But the 49ers that season were top 5 defensively as well, not to mention the number 1 rush offense in the league. So those that are answering this question, what's possible, and are saying, you know, they could get to the championship game, that's unlikely based on history. You have to have an outstanding defense to win 2 playoff games. You know, you just do to win 2. Now, if you're the 1 seed, you only have to win 1 playoff game. Let's not get carried away. Let's go to Billy. Billy, what's possible? Go ahead.
Kevin, good morning. What's possible is bigger than the Super Bowl. It's bigger than anything. And it's that the football team becomes the focus of joy and the focus of great entertainment for the entire district area for the next 20 years. Something that's been missing for 25 years. That's what's possible. It's the resurrection of professional football in D.C. Listen, you said it before, and another caller said it, that forget about the NFC. At this moment in time, there is no other quarterback in the league that I would take to be the Commanders' quarterback than Jaden, and that's after 4 games.
It's crazy. I mean, think about what you just said, and I don't disagree with you for the first time in a long time. I would not right now take any other quarterback for the present or for the future in the NFC than the guy we have. We've never been able to say that in the history of rooting for this team. Maybe with Theismann. Maybe we said it in 83.
It's a remarkable moment in time. Who knew 2 years ago that we'd be sitting here having these joyful conversations about football team at 3-1? He's elevated the entire team. You can see it in every single player on the field. They all believe. It's just remarkable. And the answer to the question, Kevin, and I'm enjoying this segment in the last month so much, we can win the Super Bowl this year. With this kid, with his moxie, with what he's done to this team, we can win the Super Bowl. Enjoy the ride.
We can't win the Super Bowl with this defense, Billy. Cannot win the Super Bowl with this defense. We can win 10 games. We can win the division. We can win a playoff game. We cannot win the Super Bowl with this defense.
The group is improving, Kevin. They are improving.
You know what? It improved against a 5'2" quarterback who they didn't even have run against us for some reason. Let's see what happens against Baltimore in 2 weeks, because you'll be facing a Super Bowl caliber team on their field. That maybe we come in the next day and we change our mind. Let's go to Chris. Chris,
why not?
Thanks, Billy. I need to get some calls in here. People have been on hold for a while. Chris in Baltimore. Chris, go.
Hey, Kevin. Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. First-time caller, long-time listener, man. Remember that sound by playoffs? Playoffs? Well, yeah, I'm taking the playoffs. And the reason why I say that is when we got Jaden and I watched him the first game, then the second game, I said, thank God we finally got a quarterback, right? I mean, he's something to build upon. But then I also look at this, like, I thought it was going to take 2 to 3 years to build the culture that we want. And in 4 games, I can see the culture. And that's because we got great coaches. Like, we got head coaches on the sideline. Like, I think a lot of times we don't really think about what we got on the sideline. We got, to me, the best coaching staff in the NFL.
And when you
see these players, yes, and you see these players, like, how they're, every game they're getting better and better, that's because of coaching. And you put that defense, and here's another thing, Kevin. It takes time to build, right? So that lets me know we got great coaching to get us where we're at right now with a whole new team, whole new ownership, and all that. That lets me know we're here. If that defense ever catch up with the offense, and I think it takes time, they got to learn each other. It's a process. But the process is happening so fast, and I'm so excited. And I think right now, and I know what you just said about the defense, Kevin. I get that. But – hey, man, they're getting better and better and better, and they start to believe in it, and it's because of great coaching. That's why I think, yeah, we got a chance to make the playoffs. Thanks for taking my
call. Thank you, Chris. Appreciate it. I can hear the excitement in your voice. I mean, that's, by the way, in the last 2 weeks, we've had more long-time but first-times, long-time listeners, first-time callers. People are legitimately into this right now. Let's go to Ryan. Ryan's been on hold for a while. Ryan, thanks. Go ahead. What's possible this year?
Hey, Kev. I love how 3 games ago we were talking about what DEFCON we would be at if we lost
with the Giants game. Yeah.
And so here we are projecting
the NFL.
So that's cool. Yeah, it like you said, it truly is week to week. I think they could probably get the high wild card spot. The defense it's got to be proven. We got Baltimore coming up. I don't think we can hold that. And until we beat Philly, maybe the guys in the middle, you know, can stop Saquon. Philly's got that thing like the Giants used to have where all of a sudden at the end of the year, they just start putting it together. But I would love to knock Sirianni out. I can't stand that guy. It him and the Big Don thing and all that.
Yeah,
it just sucks. So, but I'm guessing an away game, wild card, possible win there.
Okay.
Hopefully we keep building. Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks, Ryan. Really appreciate it. All of you that I didn't get to, we'll come back to this, I promise, a little bit later on in the show. We've got Nikki Javala, and want to talk to Nikki, get her sense of being out there every day, talking to people, not only the stuff we play and that you hear, but, you know, what's kind of the vibe behind the scenes. So we'll come back to this question. It's a good question. And look, you know, I think that for the first time in a long time, there is a legitimate expectation to win a football game Sunday. I'm not talking about the delusional expectation. Oh, I think they should beat that team. Really? Why? We're not very good. They think we're the mark this week. This may be the first game in a long, long time where there's a legitimate expectation. Point spread-wise, they're only a 3-point favorite. But from NFL people, not just our fans, that Washington should win the game Sunday against Cleveland. And trust me, if they don't, it's week to week. Our reactions about this team might change 7 days from now, 6 days from now. But for right now, 3-1, best quarterback in the NFC, best offense in football, certainly close to it. Nikki Javala next.